Brown Almost Hour, culture, current events, Catholic things, 50 minutes every afternoon. Final week of the daily broadcast. Switching gears into a weekly podcast called What If It Is True, more interview-oriented, more digging into topics, longer form. Going to get into that again beginning next week. We'll launch officially. We've been kind of doing a little bit of preliminary work on the podcast, and that's coming. So exciting stuff. Look forward to that. Today on the show, we'll be talking about what Pope Francis is talking about when it comes to bullying. Good stuff hearing from him saying, let's not be bullies. Good message, of course. Obamacare now law of the land after the failed vote on Friday. What does this mean? And what does it mean for the Republican future? I think that's a question. And leggings and yoga pants now being kicked off of flights, apparently, because the guests aren't supposed to wear that stuff publicly. I don't know. It's interesting when we get into these dynamics of appropriate dress code, right? Time and place is one thing, but if you're on the way to the gym or your yoga class or whatever you're doing and you got the pants on, I don't know. We'll talk about that and social norms. All of that and more this afternoon. I'm Leo Brown. Leo Brown, Almost Hour, back in a moment. Back, I'm Leo Brown. Leo Brown, Almost Hour, culture, current events, Catholic things, 50 minutes every afternoon. Heartbreak in the bluegrass, the big blue nation, not getting beyond the Elite Eight. Very, very interesting game with North Carolina last night. I happened to catch a little bit of it, and not something I normally would do, but a friend of mine on Facebook said, would a timeout after the three-point tie have changed the dynamic? I have to believe it would have. I'm not a sports guy. I understand sports. Believe me, I understand well enough to know that, yes, that would have been a game changer, potentially, because the momentum would have stopped with the tie, and we could have halted something. Now, again, not a sports strategist, but I understand enough to know that, yes, I think that would have made some sort of difference. And the fact that it didn't happen is quite interesting, but it is what it is. North Carolina heading on, so good for them. And the Big Blue Nation, yes, as it's known, will survive, and more couches will be safe moving forward. So there is that. But apparently, the kids are still burning stuff anyway. That's what college kids do. Let's look for an excuse. Win or lose, we'll burn the couch. All right? Who cares? Doesn't matter. We'll set things on fire regardless. Because it's really more about the fire, right? I mean, come on. It's more about the fire than it is the victory or the loss. And let's have the fire. The fire is what's important. Let's do that. Everything else will be fine. So, for sports fans, hopefully you get a dog left in the fight. Speaking of fights, Friday ended in a real interesting dynamic. I think when we saw this attempted passage of the new American Healthcare Act and not getting the support even from the base. And this is what I've been saying from the beginning. This is where the true test of this president comes into play, is how do you, if you can't rally your own base, that's a problem. It's one thing to have political opposition and have nothing that is really bipartisan. That happens. That happens frequently. That happened with the Affordable Care Act. It was a completely Democrat-voted, supported majority decision, had nothing to do with any bipartisan support. Because at least that's one thing you can say about the Democrats. They're generally united behind their causes, You don't see this. Well, here's the extreme progressive, socialistic, communistic wing of the Democrat Party that's just going to oppose everything that Democrats do. You're not going to find that. Only in the Republican Party do you find that. And it's only gotten worse, I think. I think it's always been bad. I think you've had those factions of conservatives that the staunchest of conservatism is not conservative enough for them. And they're going to oppose anything that isn't in that ilk. And I think that's what we saw happen here. And actually, it was divided really into three parts, this vote. So it kind of begs the question, I think, of are we where we need to be politically? Are we serving the needs of the contingent out there and the mindset of the voters that obviously have divisions even within the quote-unquote conservative side? But what happens when you start breaking that thing down? Then you've got a Democrat majority because they're at least seemingly unified. So, yeah, it's a tough spot, I think, to be in. But one that anything can happen between now and 2020, when we have another round of this stuff. But it's going to be hard if this is the trajectory of this president. It's going to be hard to keep a majority before the next midterm. And then after that, if this continues, because it will continue, because you're going to lose your majority, because your voters are going to say, these guys can't get anything done. Therefore, because they can't get anything done, let's get them the heck out of there. If you get the heck out of there and you got a Democrat-controlled Congress, it's done. You're toast. You get nothing because you're not a deal maker. Deal makers will make deals with people they don't agree with. And they'll find a solution, a win-win, because it's not a I win, you lose scenario. And this is what I've been saying, and I've said this, I said it the entire election. I know how this guy works. I've read his books. This is what he teaches. He teaches this platform of walking away from deals, essentially, to make everybody lose. As long as you win the argument, you've at least won that, right? So this is what he's got. He sees a victory because he was in control and he managed to say, it's done. It's over. Forget about it. Nobody wins, but I win because I made the call. You don't get what you want. You don't get what you want, but I got what I want because I'm in control. See that? That's what I've said. Now, granted, I think in this case, it actually worked out better for the American people because we at least have a system that's providing health care to those who didn't have it. That's happening. We know that. Yes, are companies paying higher premiums? Yes. Are companies choosing not to insure because the premiums are higher and more people going into the exchanges? Yes, but people are getting covered by healthcare. That's the important thing. People are getting taken care of. That's what we want to see. But to have to wrangle in this world of I win, you lose mentality, that doesn't get anybody anywhere. What works politically, I hope we all understand, is when you sit down to the table and you say, okay, you want that? That's really important to you? Okay, great. I'm going to put that as a line item, and let's make sure that we get that for you. That's important for you, and you want that? Great. That's another line item. Now, I'm not saying that you're more important than you. I'm just saying these are the things we're going to focus on, because I want this. Okay, so can we get that in there? And let's then work together. If your group knows they're going to get this, can we get the support behind this on your committee? Great, terrific. Let's do that then. From your committee, based on if they know they're going to get this, can we do that? Great, we got support on that. Terrific. I want this. Is that going to upset anybody on your committees? Can we get this passed through? No? Great. Well, so we're going to get some sponsors on this, bipartisanship, and make this work? Terrific. Great. Let's do it. How hard is that? How hard is that? That's how you make deals. That's how you politically wrangle this thing to get what you want and have everybody win. if everybody's getting what they want, isn't that good? And isn't that good for the American people? And now we're not playing some sort of I win, you lose political game. What kind of strategy is that? Sit down to the table with the leaders of these committees, negotiate like that, put the pieces together to say, hey, okay, yeah, I'm here to make this work. I'm here to make this work for both sides. Let's make this work. You want that? Great. Let's get that in. If you get that, are you happy? Are you going to, you're going to vote? Do I have your support? You're going to get behind this? Okay, good. Terrific. What do you want? If you get that, are you happy? Do I have your support? Are you going to get your committee behind it? Great. We're going to get bipartisan sponsorship on this thing then? Are we agreeing on this? Terrific. Good. I want this. So is that going to work for you? Good. Great. We all win. Win, 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 win. A high five, everybody. Let's go. Okay, good. Let's pass it through the committee. Let's get it on the floor. Let's get it to the House and Senate. Let's get this thing moving through. It's got bipartisan support. And guess what? Midterm elections, everybody keeps their positions, right? Because everybody's happy. Good. Thank you. Next item on the agenda. Let's move forward. We'll see you. See you next time we negotiate this way. Thank you. Have a great day. Okay. Come on. Yeah, that's very businesslike. I get that. Isn't that what we want? Isn't that why we got a business guy in here? What's happening? How is it? What are those discussions really looking like? I don't know. Are those discussions even taking place? Is it taking place? Are we seeing that happen? Because politics, like life, right, is a give and take. And ideally, a give and give. If we all give and give, then we all take home something good. Because I promise you, if you're all in the, if we're all in the giving mode, we all go home with more than what we're giving. We're going to. It's just the way it's going to work. You're going to go home with more than what you're giving. That's going to happen, and we're good. Everything's good. So we got to be able to understand that this is how this thing works. We put ourselves in the mentality of trying to succeed for the sake of not us, but if we're there truly representing the American people, and this is what we want to see this thing succeed, then that's how we begin to negotiate. Everybody wins. May not be perfect, may not be exactly what you wanted, but you got your important thing. You got your important thing? Great. You got your important thing? Great. I got my important thing. We good? Good. Let's do it. Right? And I know that's an oversimplified way of looking at it, but does anybody walk into negotiations that way? With the intention of, I'm going to get you what you want. I'll get you what you want. I promise. I'll get you what you want. Let's do it. Okay. I get what I want? Great. Let's make this thing happen. I don't know. I think Bill Clinton did that. I think Ronald Reagan did that. Maybe I'm wrong. More to come. We'll be back in a moment. I'm Leo Brown. Leo Brown Almost Hour. Back after this. Back, I'm Leo Brown. Leo Brown, Almost Hour, Culture, Current Events, Catholic Things, 50 minutes every afternoon. Final week of the broadcast. We'll be doing some transitioning here at Breadbox. I'll be moving to a weekly podcast, maybe a couple of times a week, depending on who we're talking to when. And going to be doing that as opposed to the daily platform because we're cooking up, we're heating up here, things are cooking, and I've just got to have more attention on the other stuff. It's just, it's what happens in organizations, but it's good. It's all good. And I will still be around doing the podcast thing, digging into topics, looking at all of the stuff that's out there. So the What If It Is True podcast is kind of already out there, but it's going to be a regular podcast concept only, not on the stream anywhere, long form, and it'll be fun. We'll be talking to a lot of fun individuals who will be bringing their stories into that. Atheists, people of other faiths, Muslims, you name it, other Christian faiths, lots of Catholics, of course, but really digging into philosophy, really digging into ideologies, big topic type stuff, not the minutia of current events and the things that are happening as we do in this show, but I'm looking forward to that, those discussions, and being able to open them up like that will be a lot of fun. So expect that, again, beginning next week as we transition off, but appreciate you listening and enjoying the almost hour, as you have, as we've been at this now for a few years. So good stuff. Pope Francis talking about bullying and asking kids to pledge to Jesus not to be a bully. I think that's a great idea to make this pledge. I think we all need to have this pledge, but I also know, dealing with my own children, how emotions can get out of hand. I was watching this just over the weekend. We got a tight-knit neighborhood. We live on a cul-de-sac, which is kind of a long cul-de-sac. So it goes up to a dead end, essentially, and then veers left into the cul-de-sac. And so, I don't know, 30 or so houses probably on this street, and many of them with children, and varying ages, from the youngest being our youngest to the oldest being the teenagers who live next door. They've all grown up together. So I'm watching this happen. 9 kids on a trampoline, which is always a disaster waiting to happen anyway. 9 kids on a trampoline yesterday, just trying to play the most aggressive game they possibly could. They like to jump over wiffle ball bats, and they've got some name for this game. They've invented this thing. I don't know. They call it bracketing or something. I don't know. So they got a couple of wiffle ball bats, and they're jumping. And finally, I just take my 4-year-old and say, and he's a tough guy because he's got an older brother, and they play rough. But I'm like, which, another story. He fell off the couch trying to throw a pillow at me yesterday because, again, he's a tough guy, falls off the couch onto his head, jumps up immediately and says, I'm okay. But anyway, so the 9 kids on the trampoline, I'm like, okay, Cy, we're going to get out of here. Let's go play somewhere else, do something. So we're up there. Next thing I know, I hear my 9-year-old yelling at the kids. And I'm like, oh no, what's going on now? All right. And it turns out 2 of the others, I don't know which one of them, girls, and in this batch of kids, they're all about 10, right? There's like 4 of them that are all about 10, 9, 10 years old. One of them had hit one of the boys in the face with the wiffle ball bat. Right? So then I had to go and intervene. I'm like, guys, you cannot play this rough. You have got to stop. You've done this so many times. And it's happened repeatedly where somebody's gotten hurt, and I'm like, you've got to stop. Now, during this time of 9 kids being crazy, we ended up with a bag of, I don't know, it's like, you know, the umlik or gublik, whatever, the homemade, like, slime stuff, stuck on our roof. So I had to climb up there, get the ladder out, go up on the roof, get that, because it wasn't going to blow off. It's a big sticky bag of goo, right? It's stuck on our roof. And then our downspout gets ripped off the house. And I got to get the ladder back out and get the downspout. I'm like, guys, you cannot, you cannot play this way. you're hurting each other. You're destroying property. Please just, so in all of this, it is great. And I want this pledge. And I love Pope Francis. But I do know one thing. He doesn't have children. And my guess is, I'm just guessing, my guess is he's probably never tried to manage his own children and 7 other neighborhood kids in his yard on a Saturday afternoon. Just a guess. Or a Sunday morning or whatever it was, whenever this was happening over the weekend. I guess it was Sunday. But that's my weekend. That's generally what I do, right? This is especially now that the weather's warming up. That's what I do. I'm outside with the kids. I've been doing this for 9 years, hanging out, watching, trying to keep an eye on everybody, trying to keep things calm, trying to keep things managed, trying to keep the property from being destroyed. That's what I do. So kids will be kids. And I don't know that they mean to be bullies. I think emotions get high when they're playing these aggressively. They make up these games where it's action anyway. I mean, they're kids. They want to do that. They want to be rough and tumble. Even the girls, they're out there. They're all doing this thing, playing rough, running around. They're just breakneck speed, always, always, always going. And I don't know that we have a bully. I just think that we have emotions, right? And what's funny is I look back on this. I had the same thing in my neighborhood, exactly the same thing. We would all end up at one person's house, 8, 9, 10 of us. Generally, it was my house, right? That happened a lot. We're in my yard running around. But there were like 3 houses generally where we would all ultimately end up. It's kind of the same thing in my neighborhood. Inevitably, somebody would end up getting punched, right? I mean, a fight would break out. Somebody's nose would get bloodied. Somebody would get hit in the head with a stick or a rock. I mean, crazy. I mean, it happened. And it wasn't because we had a bully situation. We just had kids and emotions and out-of-control activity. And, you know, I know we're quick to diagnose and point and say this is a problem and that's a problem, but, you know, I mean, yeah, I got to get in there. Like I did this week, I got to get in there. I let it go. I'm pretty hands-off. And like I say, only 2 of the kids are mine. The rest of the neighborhood and various homes and places, coming from about 4 or 5 other homes in the neighborhood. But I have to manage this to the point eventually of intervening and saying, hey, guys, no. Mm-mm. This cannot fly. Now, the question is, now I know kids on playgrounds are monitored, but does it happen to where teachers are even able to intervene on that level? I don't know. Right, I don't know what happens. Are they paying attention? Because generally I'm paying pretty close attention. Because one thing is, I got a 4-year-old in the mix and I got to watch him constantly. But even without that, I'm still paying pretty close attention. It may not look like it. I may be reading on my Kindle, but generally is what I'm doing when I'm out there. But I get an eye on those kids and I'm watching what's going on. And when I see something heat up, I'm going to intervene. Now, I didn't see the baseball bat, you know, the wiffle ball bat to the face. I didn't see that. But I promise you, I intervened immediately and said, this has got to stop, guys. You got to respect each other. But then I go and tell the parents, I think so-and-so is being a bully. I think that's what's happening down here. Perhaps we should do something. No, didn't do that. That's my teacher voice, by the way. I guess. I don't know. I don't know where they came from. But I just, you just got to deal with it, right? And do it and hopefully make the most of the situation. But is bullying a problem? It is, because emotions get out of control and people do stupid stuff. And now that we got the every possible social media platform, you name it, whatever, Snapchat, Instagram, wherever the kids are. I'm sure there's one that I don't even know about that's probably the most popular right now. And that's where the problems really come into play. Because you're talking about the vulnerability. It's vulnerable to put your stuff out there, ever. To put a comment out there, to put an opinion out there, even as adults. As artists, right? Those of us who are used to putting stuff out there, we fear the scrutiny. We still are like, is it good enough, or is it going to be accepted? If I put this out there, will people like it? Right? I mean, I've suffered from that as an artist my entire life. I mean, I know what that's like. And we may seem like we're crazily overconfident and we have all this charisma and whatever, but there's a part of us that's always kind of questioning, is this good?
And then to have that from someone who is not seasoned at criticism, put that out there, and then it seems like, well, there's this bullying element that comes into play. So, yeah, I believe me, yes, let's make that pledge. But also let's understand that kids are kids and crazy things are going to happen, and we all need to learn a couple of things. One, general respect. And then at the other side of that, a little bit thicker skin to say, you know what, hey, none of this matters. Really? In the grand scheme of things, let's understand what's important. More to come. We'll be back. I'm Leo Brown. Leo Brown, Almost Hour. Back after this. Good afternoon. We're back. I'm Leo Brown. Leo Brown, Almost Hour, Culture, Current Events, Catholic Things, 50 minutes every afternoon. Thank you for joining us. Final Monday of the Almost Hour. Going to dwindle it down to the end of the week and replacing the show next week with another program. And we're making some changes here at Breadbox, making plans for expansion and growth. And I will be moving to a weekly podcast. Let's put it this way, a regular podcast. Might be weekly, might be a couple of times a week. Depending on the week, could be more, could be less, depending on what's going on, who I happen to be speaking with, talking to, digging into. It's going to be that kind of conversational approach as opposed to the commentary approach that you get from me generally. So a little bit of a switch, but familiar territory certainly when it comes to the interviews that I do and the conversations that we have. We'll just be able to dig into them more. So it should be great. Father Thomas Loya, who joins us here frequently, will be a part of that. Lori Desitels, who has been here a number of times, will be a part of that as well. And at some point, we're going to bring in groups together to have conversations. So there will be more than just a couple, you know, me in an interview. It'll be this kind of, let's all look at the problem of evil in the world, and we'll have a panel of individuals who will come from varying backgrounds, atheism, Muslim, Jewish background, you name it, all of this. So it'll be a great conversation, so I'm really looking forward to that. It's a new area of exploration, and at the same time, not the daily effort that it takes to put on a show of this nature, which I know it's, you're like, Leo, really? It takes effort? You just sound like you're phoning this thing in. What are you talking? You have to prep for this, really, and then spend time putting it together. What? No. So, yeah, it's a few hours. Just so you know. Generally speaking, any program, there's more to it than what you hear. It's just how it works. I know we don't have expansive production pieces and all that, but I research a lot. I research, and I'll still research for the other. But I'll be relying more on the expertise of the people I'm talking to as opposed to me knowing what I'm talking about when I get into the topic. So hopefully that makes sense. But What If It Is True, the What If It Is True podcast, returning triumphantly, if you will, not that it ever existed before or went anywhere, but the What If It Is True concept is something we'd use quite a bit. But that's coming back, and it'll be a lot of fun. We look forward to that. So apparently United Airlines, I think, is the one that said, okay, these women can't be on this flight because of yoga pants. Are we at that point where we've got the attire, the wardrobe police? Yeah, I even hate the fact that people want to say burkas can't be allowed on the beach. That's crazy. If you want to wear something, unless it's just flat out like that's lewd, like, I don't know, women's parts are showing or dudes' parts are showing, is it really that big of a deal? I mean, women are covered up. And yeah, you might think that it's, I don't know. I mean, I just don't. That's not a world that I even understand, right? I mean, I guess that's my thing. And especially as Catholics, I think Father Thomas Loya would back me up on this. It's not the body that's the body is not evil, right? There's nothing about the human person that is evil. We can be lewd with what we think about the human body and how we lustfully consume images or individuals or whatever. Yeah, that's a weakness that we all have because we're wired. But this, see, that's the other weird thing, because we're wired for attraction. So unfortunately, what happens is somebody who is wired for attraction sees something that's attractive and it's a problem, right? Well, there's the problem. So that, those crazy pants, if it wasn't for that, I wouldn't have to complain right now. I mean, where's it coming from? I guess that's the biggest thing. And you hear me talk about this all the time. Let's not just look at the symptom. Let's go back and really look at this. I don't think yoga pants are symptomatic of a problem. I think the problem is the reaction, right? I don't think the attire, just like a burqa is not a problem. The problem is a reaction. Why is that a problem? Let people wear the heck whatever they want to. Again, I think it goes off the charts at times when you look at maybe some of these parade things that happen in San Francisco, and there's a little bit of lewd off the chartness, undoubtedly, because of what's being represented there. But a friend posted this crazy video on Facebook the other day of this girl. It looks like Miami. It looks like Ocean Drive. I don't know that it is or not, but knowing what I know about the Miami area, it looks just like that. But I know beaches can look like beaches, but if it is Miami, it's no surprise. A woman with dollar bills over, strategically placed over three parts of her body in five places. No, excuse me. Three parts of her body in four places. Okay. Walking through a crowd, collecting more cash. People are just giving her cash because she's walking around like this, right? And I didn't look at this lustfully at all. I looked at this, it was comic. And I think that was kind of her deal. It was a comical sort of thing that she was doing. And yes, you could look at that and go, how lewd. That's disgusting, whatever. How dare her be. But it was just funny. It was like, it's this whatever. And maybe I interpreted it wrong. Maybe I need to be more prudish. Maybe I need to have this, how dare they do that? But, you know, I've been going to Miami Beach a long time. Got family down there. You see everything. You see the human body, let's put it that way, on display quite frequently on Miami Beach. Europeans don't care, right? I mean, they come over here, and South Americans, they come up here, and Brazilians, and it's no big deal for them to be pretty exposed on the beach. And some would look at that and say, that's wrong. That's, how dare they make them objectify themselves of that nature? I don't think they're doing that. I may be wrong, but I think they're just sunbathing. And generally, just so you know, they put things back on before they get in the water, right? They lay on the beach where they're just laying there. And generally, if you're at the beach, you're in the water, you're hanging out. I mean, that's, especially in Miami, there are thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people, right? It's not like anyone makes a spectacle of themselves because there's so many people out there. And time and place, I know, is everything. You generally wouldn't wear the bikini and do what you do on the beach in the restaurant. I get it. Unless you're this girl with the dollar bills on her strategically placed currency. I guess I can't even, I just laugh at that. I think she was funny. I was entertained by it because it was funny. I don't know. So not, it certainly wasn't sexual. I mean, not enticing of any sort. It was just weird. And again, time and place, maybe in a different place and situation, that would have been completely different. But walking through this public area where people are hanging out, having drinks, dining, whatever, like you do on these beach front little areas along, I don't know. I was just not offended. Certainly not offended. not looking at this as a problem. So again, I think when we dig down deep enough, what are we really looking at? We're looking at an issue of our reaction to something that might be a whole lot more innocent. I don't think women put pants on to do anything other than generally be comfortable. If they happen to be attractive, then good for them. Sometimes they're putting stuff on that's horribly not attractive, depending on the situation. We know this. I'm not saying anything against anyone, but there are times we see things that are like, oh, wow, that's attractive. Ooh, what? We do that. But that's our problem. See, that's my problem. My reaction, whether I think something is positive or negative, good or bad, lewd, or glorifying, whatever, it all comes down to my reaction. So that's what we've got to work on. I saw a friend post this on Facebook over the weekend, Thomas Merton, forgive me, had Thomas Aquinas on the brain, because I was talking about him earlier. But the Thomas Merton quote about if we can find a little bit of peace in our hearts, at least there's a little bit of peace in the world, right? And I think if we started working on that, if we didn't assume that everything is offensive to us, everything is an affront to us. How dare they do that? How dare this happen? And, you know, I get it. I get offended. The thing that I hate more than anything is being directly insulted. And it's a problem. You know, I don't generally get offended by anything. But when somebody attacks me personally, I take it personally. I know what that feels like. I get that. But if we can work on our reactions, and we could say, well, first off, you got no control over me. Say whatever the heck you want. It doesn't matter. I'm big enough and my skin's thick enough and I'm not going to care. And if we kind of roll through things a little bit more, as opposed to allowing everything to be a big, big deal and everything to be such a monumental concern, roll through it. Let's just roll through it, right? Let's find some peace, roll through it, not make everything a huge ordeal, not react, not overreact. Just chill it through a little bit more, right? That's all we have time for this afternoon. Thank you for listening. I'm Leo Brown, Leo Brown Almost Hour. God bless.